Sometimes you just start at that first verse, and oh, the Lord speaks. Well, we're going to start at that first verse again, because that's what the Lord did. He spoke to me. So, you know, in these last couple of weeks, I've been saying, you know, we're in the book of Deuteronomy, and I've told you that Deuteronomy truly is a book of Moses teaching and encouraging the people just before they go into Israel, because the people are going to have to go in, and they're going to have to fight to take that land, but they're also going to have to do something else. They're going to have to follow the commandments in order to keep the land. So let's just take a look now, starting in Deuteronomy 12, those first couple of verses, actually the first 12, 13, 14, the first four verses. I knew I had it there somewhere. Then it will happen as a result of your listening to these ordinances, when you keep and do them, that Adonai your God will keep with you the covenant kindness that he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the produce of your soil, your grain and your new wine and your oil, and increase of your herds and the young of your flock in the land that he swore to your fathers to give you. From all peoples you will be blessed. There will not be male or female barren among you or your livestock. Adonai will remove all sickness from you, and he will not inflict on you any of the terrible diseases of Egypt that you knew, but will inflict them on those who hate you. It's quite the list of blessings. Extensive, you might even say. Covers everything, just about, I would think. I can't think of anything else it doesn't really cover in there. We shouldn't look at them just. Oh, okay. Sometimes I have to read what I wrote just to remind myself what I'm supposed to say. And we should look at these blessings and know that they were not just for the Israelites about to enter into the land then, but they're for us as well. The word for them was the word for us. Not just us, but for our family. So we don't have livestock. And most of us don't have crops that we're growing to feed our families and to sell off. But it does mean that the things that we put our hands to, he will bless. So we're told to follow the statutes and the commandments. Then Adonai will bless in many ways. It's written in his word as a promise. Over and over again, in fact. Not just once, but again and again. And remember what we say about a word that's repeated more than once? It's important to him. Therefore, it's important to us. That's why he repeats things, so that we have an opportunity to really focus in on it and then grasp it. Because that's what it means. If you see a word repeated, don't just skip over it. I've read this before. Oh, he's already said that just a little bit ago. Look at it and find out what he's trying to say through it, because it means it's important. And as we read through his word over and over again, we see these words, if we obey, blah, 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 then. So we see the if, then many times as we read through Scripture. And that's because they're important words, those ifs and the and thens. So which word is more important, the if or the then? If we do this, then he does that. Which is really more important to us? And I say, of course, it's the if part. Because the if part is what we're supposed to do, if we do it. The then part is the part that Adonai says he's going to do. And we know that Adonai is faithful and true. That Adonai never fails. So if he says, then he will do it, then we know he will do it. He never fails to carry out his word. Now, some people, they read these statements, and especially those who don't know Adonai, don't know his character, don't necessarily believe in Scripture. And they ask a question, and the question they ask is, well, if Adonai is loving, why the if and then statements? Why not just give it to us? He's loving. He should just pour them out. You know, why does Adonai say you have to do something? Is Adonai a schoolyard bully? Hey, give me your school lunch money and I won't beat you up. Why does he say, if you love me and honor me, then I won't beat you up? Well, I can say very, very comfortably, Adonai is not a bully. That is not who he is. A bully really only wants for himself. He only wants to inflict pain and discomfort for his own enjoyment. And that's not who Adonai is. Adonai truly does care for us. I would say even more than he cares for himself. That's his love towards us. So let's do a couple of definitions before we go ahead. Definition of a bully. A bully is one who habitually is cruel, insulting, or threatening to others who are weaker, smaller, or in some way vulnerable. Now, you can look at our relationship with Adonai, and you can say we are definitely weaker, we're definitely smaller, we're definitely more vulnerable than he is. But it's even more true that he's not cruel, he's not insulting, and he's not threatening towards us or his creation. That's who Adonai is. The more we get to know him, the more we understand that this is to be true, that this, all these things about him, his love, his mercy, his grace, they're all true. He is not one who wants to inflict pain. He is not that cruel, insulting, threatening God that some people think that he is. That's just not who he is, though. You know, we look at Scripture, and sometimes people will look at it, and it appears that Adonai does punish. That what he really is doing is correcting and disciplining. So these are three things people bring up. So let's take a look at these three things and definitions of these. First, punishment. They think God punishes. Well, punishment is suffering, pain, or loss that serves as retribution, a penalty inflicted on an offender through judicial procedure, and payment for a crime. And let's take a look at correction now. To reform or to punish, to bring into conformity with the standard, and discipline, punishment or training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental facilities or moral character. So punishment is retribution, or the payback for a crime or sin. And of course, the idea behind it is to inflict pain on someone so that you really feel better. Because retribution doesn't really better the person who it's inflicted upon. You can't say, I got my buck back from him. I got my pound of flesh. Now, that pound of flesh may feel better to you, but it didn't improve the person who it was against. Retribution does not improve the person. And what we see in reality is both discipline and correction. They're actually, the purpose of it is to mold you, to bring you into that standard. And what standard is that? Adonai's standard, the Torah, the law, His love, His mercy, it's all within there. So although punishment and discipline and correction can look a lot like punishment sometimes, it truly is different. And we have to look at how it's being given and the heart attitude of the one who's giving it out. So Deuteronomy 11:13 says there, starting there for a couple of verses, "Now if you listen obediently to my mitzvot that I am commanding you today, to love Adonai your God and to serve him with all your heart and soul, then I will give rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the late rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine, and olive oil. I will give grass in your field for your livestock, and you will eat and be satisfied. Watch yourselves so your heart is not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of Adonai will be kindled against you, so he will shut up the skies so that there will be no rain and the soil will not yield its produce. Then you will perish quickly from the good land Adonai is giving you." When we look at these verses, we see the promises of Adonai to those that follow his mitzvot and commandments. And some would say, well, he rewards, but he also punishes. If God rewards, then for many people, like I said, who don't know him, they think if he rewards, then he's got to punish. For every one side, there's another. But that's just not our God. Do I think he rewards and that he punishes? Yeah and no. Yes and no. He withdraws his favor and his protection from those who don't know him or are walking away from him, and it seems like punishment, but what he's doing is he's correcting those who don't know him or are walking in the wrong way. And it seems like punishment, absolutely. As you're going through it, it seems like it. Now, there are those who would say he punished Egypt, he punished Sodom and Gomorrah, but they weren't really his people. And I'm not saying that they weren't his people because they weren't Jewish. They weren't his people because they weren't following him. That's the difference. His words are not threatening to those who follow him, but they are really just the opposite. They're really statements of, I will bless with his presence. It's in his presence good things happen to us. It's his lack of presence and protection, people being exposed to the world's elements that cause harm for not walking with him most of the time. It's not the force of his hand. It's the removal of his hand that causes things to happen and to come against them. Now, he does use nations at times to teach lessons and then destroys those nations, but they were already not walking with him, such as Egypt, used to teach Israel. Babylon, used to teach Israel, but they weren't walking with them at the time, any already. When we speak of discipline and correction of Adonai, it's for those who have committed themselves to him already. For those who have not been walking with him, when things happen to them, it's normally not the hand of God. It's the absence of that hand, as I had said. Because without his hand above them, they're exposed to the world's elements. Exposed to the king, the prince of the air, who is not that friendly guy. That is Satan. He wants to hurt. He's the bully, because his intent is to bully you into following him. If we look at Adonai, He wants you to follow, but he will not bully you into following. He gives you all of these options to follow, but he never forces you into it. You've heard the Ruach being described as, Ruach HaKodesh being described as a gentleman, because he will not force himself upon you. You have to invite him into your heart. He doesn't force himself into your heart. You have to accept. He doesn't force anything upon you. For those of us walking with Adonai, we're told we should expect correction from Adonai when we're off his path. When we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, Adonai loves us so much, he wants to bring us back. So Proverbs 3:11-12 says, "My son, never despise Adonai's discipline or dread his correction. For Adonai loves those he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights." We're told not to despise the correction or the discipline of Adonai when it happens. And it will happen because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect that we'll never feel some form of correction or discipline. But Adonai is that loving parent. The hard attitude behind that correction, behind that discipline, is to bring us back to a standard, is to bring us back to his and his word and his ways. For those who do not walk with him or are making a true hard effort to live out his word in our lives, 2 Thessalonians should ring in our ears. 2 Thessalonians 1, starting in the middle of 7, says, "At the revelation of the Lord Yeshua from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, he will command judgment on those who do not know God or do not heed the good news of our Lord Yeshua. They will pay the price of eternal ruin away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power." What's Adonai doing? Just like a loving parent telling us the cost. You know, a loving parent truly does not inflict punishment upon a child who doesn't know better. A loving parent will say, "Look, this is wrong, and if you do it, there are consequences." That's a loving parent, and that's who God is, our loving parent. Telling us the costs of our actions. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sins, he will die. The son will not bear the iniquity of the father with him, nor will the father bear the iniquity of the son with him. The righteousness of the righteous will be on him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be on him." Now it's important to see that the righteousness of the righteous will be only on him. But it's the same as the wickedness of the wicked. It only affects that one person. But most important is this first part of the verse. The soul that sins will die. And we're not talking about an earthly death, because all flesh is going to die. At least right up until the end time. All flesh passes away. So that's not really the death he's talking about there. But we're going to get back to that. We've spoken about punishment, correction, and discipline. All three of these really can be seen in Adonai within the Old Covenant as part of his love for his people and how he acts towards those who don't walk with him. But within the Old Covenant, there was a way that was established for those who sinned or was not walking with him so that they would not have to pay that eternal price of death. The price of sin was always death. It was the blood of sacrifices in the old covenant that covered over those sins. Now, it didn't remove the wrong acts. It didn't remove the sins, but it did pay the price for the sins. The consequences were still there. The earthly consequences are still there, just like for us today. It was not meant to say that death of this flesh occurs because of sin. Hey, if that was the case, very few people would make it out of their teens. Right? We've all sinned, and we sin early in life. It's not even like we need to mature to sin. In fact, I would say that going through the teens, that might be the most sinful time, guys. At least as a parent, it felt that way. Maybe not while I was going through it, but as a parent, it did. The blood sacrifice took away the punishment of sin, that eternal death. Just as we read in Ezekiel 20, there's that price. And it sounds like just bad news if you stop right there. But now let's add verse 21 to Ezekiel 20. And let's go back and read 20 and 21 together. The soul that sins, he will die. The son will not bear the iniquity of the father with him, nor the father bear the iniquity of the son with him. The righteousness of the righteous will be on him, and the wickedness of the wicked on him. And 21. But if the wicked turns from all his sins that he has committed and keeps all my laws and does what is lawful and right, he will surely live. He will not die. There is a way that is not death. It sounds first like it's only death, but that's not God. That's not his love. There is a way out of that death. And the question others would ask is, why is there not death? Why don't we have death now? Why don't we have eternal death now? And the answer is John 3:16. So let's take a look there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Ben Elohim, the Son of God. Adonai does not hate people. Verse 18 says that the world is condemned when they don't believe in Messiah, his son. They are condemned not because Adonai feels hatred towards them. The word condemned there in the Greek is krino, which for the most use in the scriptures is judge. Now a judge, as we know, a righteous judge, a true judge, doesn't judge based on who the person is. He looks at the law, he looks at what occurred, and then he makes his judgment. The person may be good, the person may be bad, but the judgment is based on what he's done. And that's the way Adonai looks at us as well. We may be good people. Maybe in our whole life, we're pretty good. We treat people well. If we're not following Torah, I can tell you we're still sinning. Because there are some things that we just can't help ourselves. There are some things we were born into, some things that are just fleshly, human nature, walking outside the Torah. we have to adhere to Torah. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says, "Have you forgotten the warning addressed to you as sons? My son, do not take lightly the discipline of Adonai or lose heart when you are corrected by him, because Adonai disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he accepts." So restating of Psalm 3, of Proverbs 3 that we just read. But let's look at the word that's used for punishment there, that punishes in verse 6, the word punishes. Because Adonai doesn't really punish the ones he loves, but instead he actually does is corrects them. The word for punishes in verse 6 is mustegeo, I believe it is, which means to whip. Now that sounds like a punishment, doesn't it? Whipping someone sounds like a punishment. But we have to look at the intent behind it. The hard attitude of what's behind it, of Adonai's hard attitude. Because he's the one who's disciplining. When done by Adonai, it's to correct or to bring us back into alignment of Torah. His word, his standard, not our own. And not to inflict pain. It's not a payback for the sin. Adonai doesn't stand there and say, "I'm going to get you back for doing that." That's not Adonai. He's not a payback kind of God. In fact, he would rather you not do it, so he corrects us so that we don't do it again. You know, we may be able to grieve Adonai, but the truth is, what could we do to Adonai that would make him feel like he'll pay us back? We really can't do anything that would take away from Adonai that he feels retribution is necessary, that he needs to pay us back for what we just did. Hey, I'm too puny. You're too puny before Adonai to do anything that really is going to deserve retribution. And he knows that. What he does out of love so that we will live blessings before him, so that he can give us his blessing, so that we can live out our lives under him in his blessings. Because there are going to be consequences. There are always going to be consequences. But we still need to be in alignment with him. And when we're in line with him, his words and his commandments, then we gain his great promise that's to be had. Romans 8, starting in verse 1. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what was impossible for the Torah, since it was weakened on account of flesh, God has done. Sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as a sin offering, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Ruach." The requirement of Torah that's being spoken of is death, the eternal death, the separation from Adonai eternally. But the good news is Adonai has a different plan for us. His love for us is that we're not, don't get that eternal death. Don't have that eternal separation from him. His plan spells out that we have a way back. Romans 6:22. "But now, having been set free from sin and having become enslaved to God, you have your fruit resulting in holiness. and the outcome is eternal life. For sin's payment is death, but God's gracious gift is eternal life in Messiah our Lord. So if there was not a Messiah for today, we would all be heading for eternal death. Because we've all sinned. We could try the best we could to live a righteous life, to live a good life, to live the best way that we can, but it wouldn't be enough because we all sin. But instead, that payment that's required, the death that's required by our sin, was paid by Messiah Yeshua. And this was foretold to us in Isaiah. This is not a new covenant idea. This was foretold by the prophets. Isaiah 53. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our pain. Yet we esteem him stricken, struck by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to his own way. So Adonai has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's why we can be joyful. That's why we can rejoice. That's why, even in these times, we can still be that joyful people. Because we may be going through this now, but we know what's going to happen. We may be living through some dark times. We may have bodies that don't want to cooperate at times. But we've seen the final chapter. We know how it ends. It ends by us not having to pay the price for being just who we are. It ends with someone else paying the price. That someone else was Messiah Yeshua. All the prophecies were written well before Messiah came on the scene. And he fulfills them all. Each and every one of them. That's why we're joyful. And that's why each and every one watching today can be joyful. Because he wants to pay the price for your sin too. Now he does not want you to continue to sin. But he wants to pay the price of the sin you've had already. And then he's asking you to change your life. Now, some people don't need to change a lot. Some people are living some good lives. But they need Messiah Yeshua. You still need Messiah Yeshua. Because there is just some sin we have no control over. My flesh does things I don't want it to do. My flesh and my mind does not do some things I want it to do. And it's not because I'm this horrible, terrible person. And we're all the same. Each one of us, our flesh does not do everything we want it to do. And it doesn't, and it does some things that we don't want it to do. That's how we're made, unfortunately. How unfair is that? We were made to be sinners. Well, no, we were not made to be sinners, but there was sin that came into life through Adam. And that carried forward. And boy, from where I'm sitting right now, it seems like, you know how an echo gets lower and lower and lower every time it repeats itself? Boy, the sin seems to be getting worse and worse and worse as this age goes on. We need a Messiah. We need a Messiah. The good news is we've received the Messiah. We have a Messiah. Messiah is Yeshua, fulfilling every one of the scriptures in the Old Covenant so that we would recognize him. All we need do is read our scriptures and recognize who he is. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that you have given us your words so that we would know that you're a loving God, so loving that you sent a Messiah, the Messiah, your Son. Your Son who is, I'll say it this way, who is you. Just like the Ruach is you. You are Echad. You gave up a facet to come to earth in the flesh to show us how to live and then to die for us. To shed the blood as that perfect sacrifice to fulfill the word in Leviticus that says the power of life is in the blood. And I've given it to you for atonement. We thank you that you have given us a blood that was perfect in Messiah Yeshua so that it covers our every sin. We thank you that you've told us through your prophets what to look for. We thank you that we have seen them all fulfilled through Messiah Yeshua. If you're watching today on the live stream, and today is whatever day you're watching, it doesn't have to be live, whatever day you're watching is today. And this is your today. This is the day that you can find salvation through Messiah Yeshua. This is the day that a loving God calls to you and says, I've died for you. I sent my Son for you, and he's died for you. And if you're Jewish, perhaps you're saying, well, wait a second. There is but only one God. You just told me that he was God, that he came down to earth. So doesn't that make two gods? Well, then the Ruach, doesn't that make three gods? No, it's one God. It's an Echad. It's an Echad. Just like day and night, two different things make one day, as I spoke about in the Torah portion earlier. Just like a man and woman gets married and becomes one, Adonai is but one. Don't let them fool you into thinking that we're talking about multiple gods. One God, one Jewish God for all people's salvation. That's the God we're talking about. And he's yours today if you accept them into your heart. You accept the blood that was shed. You have salvation too. So just say, if this is your first time, or maybe you've wandered away, now you're ready to come back. If you're ready, you're ready to change your heart. Say this very short prayer with me. Father, I have sinned, and I recognize that I am a sinner. I also recognize your Son Yeshua, Jesus Christ, your Son Yeshua HaMashiach, as my Savior, whose blood was spilt to cover the price of my sin. Thank you for spilling your blood, Yeshua, to cover my sin. Amen. It's really that simple. I mean, I can go on and on, but it really is that simple. All you need do is accept the blood of Messiah Yeshua. And I encourage you now, go and read the scriptures. I encourage you, speak to somebody. If you don't have anyone to speak with, call me or email me. Let us pray with you in person, on the phone, whatever it may be. Because you should be joyful this day. We all should be joyful this day. He's given us his word, which is true. And he's given us his blood, which covers all our sins. Amen? Amen.